back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're taking the Maryland Crab Cake Tour out on the road. I got my Betty Boop scratch offs. Only a handful left. We're going to be up in Hampstead and Carroll County at Greenmount Station this week. We're going to be at G&A, Coney Island Hot Dog with my pal Andy up in White Marsh next Friday, the 22nd, and then the 27th. We're going to be up in Perry Hall with our friends at Conrad's Crabs. They're pulling them right out of the water and plating them, and they've won 9 times now, best crabs in Baltimore. So we'll be celebrating with them later on in the month. I celebrate with this guy a couple times a week. You can hear him here each and every Thursday on the Dennis Colazzo Show. You can follow him out on Twitter at DColazzo Show. He's usually selling cars over Coons Baltimore Ford Security Boulevard. I've got my my Coons shirt on here, and you know I'm going to take a curveball with you because you and I get together a couple times a week, and we have been known to talk about fishing, politics, life, good fortune, concerts, and all that. I want to take – this is the only week you have to do this. Don't be mad with me, all right? I'm going to make you talk baseball this week, all right?
Look, I tried. I went fishing on the Susquehanna Sunday morning and caught some smallmouth. Tried to watch the Orioles Sunday afternoon. They were down 4-0, and I remember the Masters was going on, so I tuned in and watched the Masters. So that was basically my Sunday.
How many Orioles can you name and don't make that? Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Okay.
There's Means, right? The pitcher Means. There's the Mancini. I know Mancini.
Okay. Good.
Adley Rutschman, is he on the roster?
He's injured, but he'll be here soon. Cedric Mullins. Come on. I got to give you him, right? Ryan Mountcastle. Let me give you him.
You're a lot further ahead than I am, obviously. I'm not there. I try to watch it, and it was unwatchable. It really was. For me, it was like they were down 4-0, and it was like watching paint dry.
What happened? I mean, like your family came from Greece, and I would say my family came from Venezuela. I'm Aparicio. I'm here because of baseball. So I have a different association with it, obviously. But, you know, I would think people come from Greece. They played soccer. They kicked the ball around a little bit. I would think most European families that came here, soccer was sort of primary to their who they were in the 60s and 70s, wherever they came from. But baseball was a thing. You're East Baltimore. I was East Baltimore. When you moved in over there, Sedona, your family's running around in the 70s, baseball and Jim Palmer and Brooks Robinson and Boog Powell, you were near Memorial Stadium. Do you remember your first Oriole game? Do you remember going?
You know what? The first Oriole game I took in, Eddie Murray hit a home run. I can't tell you how old I was, but...
Oh, you remember that?
Oh, yeah. We'd go down there. A hot Sunday afternoon. The whole family would get down there. Aunts, cousins, uncles. It was an event. Prices were pretty cheap to get in there. Food was cheap. It was just a great way to spend an afternoon, an evening, or a weekend.
So you made it a family event to go to the game.
Oh, and absolutely.
Going to the beach for the day. Just different.
It was a big deal for us, right? We didn't have a lot of money, but it was a big deal for us. It was that in pro wrestling for us when we first came to the States, and football eventually. But my father, God rest his soul, he loved going to the stadium and watching the Eddie and the pitchers and whatnot, and Earl.
It made him feel like he's a part of Baltimore, part of America, right?
It was a Baltimore thing to do. It was a very Baltimore thing to do. Everyone loved the Orioles. You know, we played baseball as kids outside at the elementary school there, and that's what we did. And you pretended you were your favorite player, and Lee May or whoever it was. And
I love
it was
that.
A lot of fun.
We lost Tommy Davis last week. He passed away. Yeah. He was the first DH. And, you know, I think of those 1974 Topps baseball cards. You know, my affinity for it. And I used to I think about it differently. You know, I collected cards. I learned how to read by reading the sports page. All I ever wanted to do was be a sports writer and a sports columnist and, you know, be in around baseball. And then thinking about the spring trainings back in the 90s when I first went on the radio, how proud I was that I had a press pass and that I would be at every game. I mean, they'd give me a press pass to go out there to talk about the team. I wanted to be there every night. I wanted to know the players. I wanted to get to know Ben McDonald and Rick Sutcliffe and Cheeto Martinez and L. Rod Hendricks taught me baseball, and Dick Bosman and the late great Greg Biagini would sit at the batting cage and Rick Down, and they would you know teach me about getting wrists out, and I would watch BJ Suroff just hit off of this tee down in Fort Lauderdale. I mean, I love baseball, and I'm with you, man. I don't know what this is, and certainly this, the team's terrible, so that's a different place. But I'm trying to figure out what's going to get me and my wife in the car down there, other than Dennis calling and saying, "Oh, yeah, Mr. Coons bought a box, and we're all doing Oriole night or whatever." And nobody even does that anymore. It really feels out of touch. I'm really worried about it. I'm worried when tickets are $12 on opening day, and they can't find people that want to go down on a 65-degree opening day.
Well, Ness, I don't have I have a lot of friends. I have a lot of acquaintances, but my best friends, my circle is very small. Al Bunbury is one of my best friends, and he and I talk all the time. When Al is an ambassador for the club, and he's had his ups and downs with him, and vice versa. But he loves baseball. He loves kids. He loves the stadium. He loves the organization. And so I have a direct in with the Orioles that I choose to exercise in terms of tickets or box or whatever. But I just haven't been in the mood the last several years, probably the last 5 or 6 years, to even go to the stadium.
I'm trying to figure out what would make me in the mood. Like, if it were free to get a box in left field, and I'm sure it's empty, right? And they invited you and me and 30 of our people we like, just people I like, that Bill Cole from Cole Roofing, whom I love, who we try to get together, you know, and we inevitably don't. We inevitably only really get a business coffee, and we see each other at this event, and we do the Zoom thing, and we get together. But like, finding that post-COVID thing that says, you know, getting together with friends in something you would do, whatever it is that you would do, whether it's a concert at Merriweather, whether it's a festival in a park, whether it's going to the Preakness, whatever that thing is, that baseball used to be part of that glue, and it's fallen apart. And I don't know where that fabric is. And I guess opening day and opening week, and now that it's back and it's available again, and I don't live downtown anymore, so it's a completely different thought that I'm going to walk out of my house at 6:35 and grab a sausage on the way up or whatever, because that's not, I'm no longer ever going to do that in regard to the Orioles. It's going to become a planned activity for me if I'm going to do it. And I'm wondering what will get me back. And I really don't think it's going to be Adley Rutschman or the team or Mike Elias or John Angelos is going to reach out to me through some of his friends here in the community. I think what's going to be is friends are going to have tickets or going to say, I'm going to say, I want to spend time with you. And then the question is going to be, why are we doing that? Why don't we just go get dinner? Why don't we just go get some Indian food and hang out? And that's the competition I have with it, is that no one lures me to baseball games. No, my friends don't go.
Well, Ness, the last time I went, I'm going to tell you, it was 4th of July, 2015 or 2016. One of my best friends got a suite. That night they lost 2-0. There was a wonderful fireworks show after the game. I didn't see a single pitch. I spent the entire night talking to my friends with my back away from the stadium, just
in the suite, just kind of hanging out.
Having the finger food, having the drinks, enjoying the camaraderie with my friends and whatnot. But I didn't watch a single pitch. The team lost 2-0. The fireworks, I went outside to watch the fireworks afterwards. But that's the last memory I've had of going to an Orioles baseball game. And that's what it would take again for me to go. It would be a social type of a thing until they put a better product on the field. Give me something that was in the later years of Bucks era where the team was competitive. I'll watch that, but I'm not going to watch. It's hard to expect people to watch a non-competitive product.
Well, I mean, it's about pride too. You spend a lot of time over Coons Baltimore Ford. You want to be proud of what you're wearing, what you're associated with, the investment of time. There's a real pride issue that's lacking with the payroll. And, you know, if we're really going to talk about how effed up this thing's been for 30 years and how goofy the old man was when he was allegedly lucid, now they're, you talk about rudderless. You know, if I call over to Coons Baltimore Ford and they pick up the phone, I say, who runs this place? They're going to say, well, let me get you on the phone with Mr. Colatzos. And I'm going to say, who are you, Colatzos? Who's this Coons guy? You're going to say, well, let me get you. If it's important, I'll get you to Crystal Jim Coons. That there's somebody sitting there. With the Orioles, there is zero front face. And I think the Ravens need to be careful with this, because Bisciotti doesn't want to be a part of this. And Dick Cass, who was a very front-facing president, they're taking on this new guy who, when I met him, wanted no part of me, wanted no part of, like, you know, interaction. And I'm thinking to myself, this has been a 30-year thing where it's been a very bad front face for the brand of how they run their business, let alone what's on the field. Forget Cal Ripken, or whether it's Mike Bordick, or whether it's, you know, Matt Wieters, or whoever, Manny Machado. That isn't what the business owner touches. That's not what the customer touches in the stands when they're getting a hot dog, when they're showing up, when they're parking, when they're dealing with season ticket rep, when they're there paying $14 for a beer. What experience are they getting, and who's responsible for that? I don't know that anybody's out in front of that. I mean, with the Orioles at all. And again, and it's been going on for a long, long time. They need better management. They need to be run better.
Well, that's the last jersey I purchased was one from Manny Machado, just to let you know. So I don't know who's buying jerseys these days, who's buying any sort of Orioles memorabilia that they can wear with some semblance of pride, right? I mean, I guess I would like to have a Trey Mancini jersey for reasons other than baseball, right? For what he overcame.
I'm going to get you an orange 33 Eddie Murray so you can remember that first time you saw Eddie get in there and make it happen, man.
But my point is, nothing current excites me about this club. It just isn't. And when are they going to be competitive? Is it going to be 2025, 2026? It seemed like they've been in the rebuild ever since Hector was a pup, and now he's full grown. I think the fan base is tired of waiting. I think there's a lot of apathy out there. And we also have a lot of options, how we can spend our time versus supporting something that isn't fun to watch. And it just isn't.
Well, they were 0-2. They're losing 4-0. And the Masters wasn't any good either, right?
It wasn't that close. But again, it was more compelling television to watch a 25-year-old ranked number one in the world chase that green jacket. That was a better storyline than the Orioles being down 4-0. And I guess they lost 8-0, whatever it was. But I didn't miss anything by turning off, by switching channels anyway. And I think I gained because there were some storylines there with the Masters.
Well, once McIlroy came, then it was like, he's on 15, he makes the birdie, they go to 12, and then all of a sudden you're like, all right, he's going to have to put the ball in the water here. Like, you know, it's really bad stuff is going to have to happen to him. But it's the Masters, and I've seen Greg Norman have bad things, and I've seen Tiger Woods just standing on the other side making the other guy soil themselves, right? So that is – and as it turns out, he woke up in the morning and cried to his wife that he didn't think he could handle it, and now he's got a 5-shot lead with 4 holes left to go. But, you know, it tests your mettle, right? I mean, so there it was does. That. It wasn't guy against guy or three-way for a playoff. It was man on himself, I guess, was the last hour. The
man
right?
against, he was playing the course, of course. And then, of course, he gets to the 18th, and he can't make a short putt. He could tell he was nervous. Good thing he had a 5-shot lead. I'll tell you that right now, because, and of course, the prize money, $2.7 million for first place, $1.6 for second, $1 million for third. So there was that drama to see who's going to finish where, because that money difference is significant in the Masters.
Dennis Colatos is here. He'll be there and here on Thursdays from 3 until 5, and again on Sunday morning with the Sunday Sports Voice. Look, I started the same thing with you, with Raskin, with everybody this week. I'm going to do baseball because this is the one week where I'm allowed to do it, where I can bring it up before they're – I mean, they're already in last place. But is there anything else you have on baseball, or do you just want to go to football now?
Yeah, just football, because there's some good stories there, some sad stories there, of course, with the young man, Dwayne Haskins, passing away, Pittsburgh Steeler. And there's great news for the Ravens that they got Calais Campbell back, who, you know, Walter Payton Man of the Year. So football is a gift that keeps on giving, as we've always said, in a number of ways.
Well, a couple weeks out, and this is the time of year. You're talking about the NFL got my clock together. It literally, over the weekend, it was like April 8th or April 9th. I'm like, well, schedule might be coming out this week. I better check, right? Because I, you know, that kind of, even though Chad Steele doesn't understand this, I live my whole life on the football clock waiting for the schedule for all of the weekends. Don't have any bar mitzvahs or anything crazy. Don't go get married on the third weekend of October like Kevin Eck did 30 years ago. But when the schedule comes out, that's a big thing for me. And I Googled it all up and I'm like, It's not coming out till May. They've now decided that this is the COVID thing. The last couple of years, it's come out a little later. I don't know if the Ravens are playing in Munich against the Tampa Bay Bucks. We're not going to know until May now, right?
I hope not. I hope they play Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay in December or November at a minimum. Love to go see Tom Brady again. And what a compelling story that's been with Brady. And he was almost part owner of the Dolphins, but the Tom Flores lawsuit messed that up. And Bruce Arians had to step down. And Tom had a meeting with the Glazer family at a Manchester United match. I mean, this stuff is the stuff of fantasy, right? But it's true.
Well, there'll be a book. Somebody's documenting all of this stuff.
Tom gets his way. There's no doubt about that. He is Tom Brady, and he is, I think he's going to be playing for a while now.
He's going to own a franchise at some point.
He wants that ownership group, and he had a foot in the door with that Michigan alumni, Stephen Ross, and it didn't quite work out, but the interest is there, so I don't think that's going to go away anytime soon. I do expect to see him with the Dolphins at some point. I think they'll pick up that story probably next year.
Who needs the Orioles when you can follow the offseason to see whether Dan Snyder is going to go to jail or get thrown out of the league? That's much more compelling than anything the Orioles are going to do the next 160
days.
It really is.
It really, really is. And, of course, we have the draft coming up. And you're right. I mean, the Dan Snyder story is potentially explosive depending on what comes out of it. But it's a lot of fun to watch the league.
All right, draft coming up. Dennis will be here on Thursday and again on Sunday morning. You can find him from 3 until 5. You can always find him out on the Twitter thing at D Colazzo Show, and always available. The phone rings on his hip over Coons Ford and Security Boulevard, and I'll be over to visit with you soon. Take care of yourself. Have a good week. We'll check in on Thursday, okay?
You as well. Thanks so much.
All right. Baseball on my mind a little bit. I'm picking the brains of folks out there who used to love baseball, who seemingly had other plans on Monday afternoon than $12 tickets on a 60-degree day. So much for the rights of spring. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Oriole baseball and Baltimore Positive.